It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When's the last time you can remember thinking?
Moments.
Yeah, moments.
Moments.
But a game like where you're like, because I can remember like that Bengals game. Mm-hmm. I was like, he's getting paid.
Tampa?
The Bucks game the last time they played?
Yeah.
He's getting paid. The Browns playoff game, stepping up like that, he's getting paid. The Colts game to start the season where he had to make big throws late, he's getting paid. I remember the last time I had a feeling. He hasn't had a 300-yard game since week five last year either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just,
I think
he needs a game, son.
Oh, he needs a game.
He needs a ball game,
son. And the defense can be vulnerable, as I'm sure you know, Clint, the Tampa defense. But, no, he definitely needs a game. I was just stunned at even the people that weren't trolling, as Show said, or whatever, that are just kind of like, yeah, I don't believe in this guy. I'm kind of out on him. Stunned.
Yeah, look, I think it's – I mean – year three, man. It's year three, and there's got to be some evidence of you know, helping your offensive line in those moments. There's got to be, to me, like the most damning thing I think with CJ is year three. Forget the processes of picking up different blitzes and different pressure.
Yeah,
and I said this yesterday in the crosstalk, but it's like, I don't care what everybody else is doing on the field. If I come to the line of scrimmage and I notice, hey, I got an overload over here to the left side, and I see a guy creeping. When I take that snap, I'm peeking at him for a hot second just to is he coming or not, right?
Yeah.
And then if he comes, then I got to figure out something to do. If he doesn't, then I'm going to get back into my read, get back into my routine. I mean, there's half the time he's not even looking at it.
No.
So it goes beyond just the communication piece and the scheme piece and there's some instincts involved of like, hey, man, I got a bunch of dudes coming at me from my left side. Let me peek this and see what I'm dealing with. Like, the great ones do that, you know. I think it's fair. Year three, you need to be further along than what CJ has shown through one game. That could drastically change.
Sure.
But, yeah, I could see some frustration there.
Can I ask you how much of that, like, because you're quarterback, man. Like, I'm always going to lean on your experience here. How much of that do you feel like is innate with a great quarterback, or how much of that is built through learning and getting that? Because it's hard to neglect the idea that, hey, there's the guys that have been in charge getting him ready to do that. Have kind of dropped the ball to someone.
Well, what I'm talking about is I mean, it's instincts.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's, I mean, because you see guys like let's call it Lamar Jackson, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lamar Jackson would see that and get out in his feet, and everybody's like, oh, well, he can't process and he can't dip. But at least he's seeing it.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he sees it coming and he has the ability to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you fast forward like Anthony Richardson getting the hit right here. Like, you didn't even see it coming,
bro. Yeah.
like when you don't see it coming and you don't feel it, you don't have the instinct. Like the sixth sense of being able to, I'm getting heated up from one direction or the other, and let me peek at it. Like that is just that is a major concern for me. The other stuff, the clock matters, the OC matters, the O-line matters, the scheme matters. Man, not just seeing it.
Yeah,
you know, that's the part that concerns me. And look, I think football fans in general are at a point with CJ where, again, the good guy stuff.
Yeah,
the good guy stuff is less important. The rookie year stuff is further removed.
I think there's a responsibility on him too. He's just rubbing people the wrong way in little things. The little argument on the sideline, the Mariners hat. The, you know, what else were we talking about?
I think the injury. But John, you know this, John. They're getting closer and closer to the money.
Oh yeah,
and that is
that'll turn fans.
And Clint has brought
frustration.
Clint has brought it up in the, hey man, you got to pay this guy $60 million.
Frustration.
You're closer and closer to the money, and it's like,
well, it's hard to watch, and then call it the Bobby Slowick, call it the Nick Cayley, call it the D'Amico Ryans. It is hard to watch the C.J. Stroud quarterbacked offense this past week and think Super Bowl, AFC.
Oh, 100%.
Can't compete with Buffalo and Baltimore and Kansas City and Philly and. Brown, you know, like that.
They ran.
Of, like,
he ran right up. The game ran right up to one an extravaganza where you see Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, his supposed peers, doing it up and down the field for four quarters.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where I think fans are. They watch their squad play and they go, "Ooh, man, we're nowhere near it."
Yeah. Yeah. You just need some good games, especially the ones that you talked about, Ron, the ones that make you go, oh, there's a 60 million guy.
Like the last time.
I wanted to go. I was like, Monday night Dallas, but no. I don't even think he threw a touchdown in that game. And I was like, New England, but I don't even know how much I was excited by that game. It was just like, damn, you needed that one against a team in New England that wasn't very good.
Second half Chargers playoff game, he really.
Yeah, that's probably the best case you got.
But that start was like.
I don't know.
Running for his life. All right. Not running for our lives, but handing things off to the fellas of the drive. Fellas, have a great show and keep doing the good work, raising some money for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. I appreciate you, gentlemen. I appreciate you listening. And right now, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. The drive is live.
That's right. The drive is live. And, the hell's wrong?
He handed that thing off to me. He handed that thing off to
me. Right there in the pocket.
I had that right elbow up. I was running off left tackle, and I hit that seam, Chief. I just kind of coasted. Then when I broke clear and didn't have no threat, I put that thing in one hand and just kicked my head back and started.
Well, there you go. Well, you know what they're handing us off, Clint Tyler. They're handing the drive, as he said, the kids read readathon. We are trying to. Raise money there. They're handing it off to us, and they are at right now we're at $17,204. We are trying to push this up. And listen, Houston, you'd have messed up. I didn't see you in action before. I know what you're capable of. So please, as we get going here, we are trying to raise money, as he said, each and every year. How you can donate? Text new books, NEBOOKS, new books, all one word, no spaces, new books to 41444, and you can donate there. And remember, Clint, at this point, if you are donating during the drive, during afternoon drive, all donations will be matched by Phillips 66 up to $25,000, Clint. And 61% of children in low-income families have no books in their homes here in Houston, and we want to change that. We do this every year. It is always a great, great time, and we always are able to help some kids out. Let's do that right now. As he said, man, we're taking over $17,204. We're here till 6 o'clock. Let's drive this up, good people.
Let's run it up, man. That's NEWBOOKS. Text NEWBOOKS. New books to 41444. $30 gets a child. Six new books.
Yep.
10 kids, $300 gets 10 kids those books. And if you want to sponsor an entire classroom of 30 kids, that's $900. You do whatever you want. I'm just giving you some round numbers out there. It is a serious problem in our community, and it's a serious problem with those kids that just flat out don't have a choice, hadn't been given a chance. Flat out they need us. Flat out need us. And now's the chance. New books to 41444. You will get a link that will allow you to then donate whatever amount you would like at that point in time. So, yeah, we you know how we do it around here, Drive Family. Let's run this thing up over the next 4 hours.
That's right, baby. $100 already just now.
Really?
$100 just went through right here.
Solid hearing
there
it bucks,
go.
Huh?
Let's go. Let's go. I love to see it.
About three and a quarter kiddos right there. Got them a library.
There you go,
baby.
There you
go.
Got them some books, baby. We're sitting there. Right there. All right.
Big shout out to Phillips 66. I know you mentioned him, Ron, but I thought, hell, $25,000 is worth another shout out. Well, big ups to Phillips 66.
Yeah, it is. Clint, in moments like this, I like to check on.
Check on OT?
Yeah. Mm. It's like a little brother to us. He's clearly the young one.
I think I saw a text message come through at 2 a.m., post 2 a.m.
Oh, yes. He has the worst knees of all of us, and that includes a guy who's
all three of them
who played quarterback for 20 years, and a guy who's been overweight for a smooth 32 of them, but he still has the worst knees.
I tore myself playing football, though.
I know you did. Still hadn't been right. Still clicks when he walks in. He knows it.
Oh, it does a lot more than click.
He said he bent down and somebody said, "What the hell?
Seriously?
What the hell?
Crack, 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 crack. What
the But these are the moments, man. I thought about you last night. Last night, man, what did you do when that game concluded? When that ground ball and Christian Walker dove for it and couldn't get it home in time, what did you do after that? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What did you do when that game ended? Because that's not one where you just turn over and go to bed.
Oh, no. I think I tweeted something to this effect last night in the moment. I can't remember. I blacked out in anger. But I can't remember the last time, definitely this season, that I felt that angry and that pissed off at the end of a regular season game, a loss for the Astros. I don't know if I can remember one last year where I was that angry. I mean, it completely all fell apart in a game you needed in so many ways, not only because now you're only leading the West by one game, but just like the emotional factor of it, seeing Luis Garcia leave that game with an injury. We'll hopefully get an update on that at some point.
Which would be meaningless, but go ahead.
Yeah, but just that heartbreak and the way you battled and you were winning that game. I mean, you were no-hitting those suckers for a long-ass time with blue ball in the game. For it to come down like that, I mean, I just wanted to vomit, man.
Yeah, I
was in that studio behind you, honestly, right whenever the game ended, just yelling a bunch of four-letter words while Area 45 was on.
Old Ray said he just turned the damn TV off. Somebody else texted in and said, "I just turned the TV off.
I put it on YouTube
and just stared up into the ceiling."
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm thankful I did not see it live, boys.
Should be.
Thankful for my baby girls. I was busy putting them to bed, and Lainey was an absolute wreck last night. But like you said, Tyler, I think the hard part of it, going back and watching, I think the hard part of it is you're immediately reminded of the starting rotation issues. Right, and then with the Abreu part of it, you're immediately reminded of the closer, Josh Hader, just the lack of arms there.
Talk about a collapse,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, and then with the you know, in extras, you know, the how bad the Astros are in general, you're quickly reminded of that, and then the Altuve, which I know is going to really push. I know you didn't want to bring it up because you don't know if you can handle it today. But
the anger sharks are swimming.
I'm surprised he didn't mention it.
Well, the Altuve blunder, just it, like all of that stuff, it's just like one thing after another, and it's right in the middle of a time when, as Tyler mentioned, this division race is as tight as it's been. So you needed that win. Yeah, should have had that win, and unfortunately, we were reminded of every problem the Astros have had this year. All in a stretch of nine innings.
You're right.
I guess 10 innings.
The Mariners have now won four in a row, and they're a game back. And they're playing the Cardinals, who've shut it down, as they're ready to go wherever they want to go. Text line coming through. Threw a punch at my daughter's stuffed animal for looking at me. Knocked that sumbitch clean out.
That's a good spot to let it out on. Yeah.
Went Clark Griswold Jelly of the Month Club off Christmas vacation. Turned it off and played Call of Duty to get my frustrations out. I remember in college, I had a suite mate. His name was Lance. Lance seemed like he was about 4 or 5 years older than the rest of us. But Lance had one of them big old piggy, like Coca-Cola bottle piggy banks.
Yeah.
That he had full of change. And that was a year the Chiefs just found really fun ways to lose games. And when it would happen and it would lose games like that, he would then take that thing off and pour it across his bed, and he would then just count change.
Just count.
I said,
calming.
I said, "Lance, what are you doing?" He said, "I got to count the effing change. Just leave me alone." And he's just.
I've cleaned my entire home top to bottom because of the Aggie football team before. That's it. I stress clean like crazy. Same kind of deal.
Listen, you brought up the Luis Garcia. I'm kidding. There's a few things from this game.
That hurts, man.
I'm going to be honest with you because we sit here and Clint's like, "All right, just I'm not laughing.
I just need one of three.
One of
literally
three.
Down to
and
one."
Then, like I promised, 2 days later, Spencer Arrighetti goes with right arm inflammation.
It's not ideal.
Now we're like, "All right, here we go. It's down." Like I think J.P. France may have to change his role right now and move from being in the bullpen. They may have to throw him into the rotation. Because they sure as hell ain't looking at Lance.
They probably should go ahead and throw a couple more weeks on his vacation and let him heal up a little longer.
I am not kidding you.
Because I'm done with it. If I wasn't already, bro, I'm done with the training staff.
Now you can't look at them. All right, you can't do sweeping things right now.
Louise but was I supposed but to start I can't, last Tuesday.
I'm just saying I can't take Jim Crane serious if they don't do sweeping changes, do things, something in the offseason
yes.
to change things. Dude, I was being stupid yesterday, but I said, here, guys, let me just get to the inflammation portion of the injury list. And I literally ran through like two important relievers, Spencer Arrighetti, somebody else. I can't even remember them all. The head. Brandon Walter went to have surgery with his left elbow. Like, this is like, that's seven guys who have inflammation, not to mention the other guys that we've almost completely forgot who had Tommy John. Something is going on. There is some practice, something, whether they're bringing them back too quick, I don't know what it is. Something is going on, and if I'm Jim Crane, I can't sit here another year and just, all right, man, bad luck. No, this ain't bad luck. They have pitchers going left and right. I want to shut Hunter Brown down. What are they doing? It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know, Ron, that it's as much of the training staff as much as it is whatever plan that they have, like the coaching, the developmental aspect of pitching in this organization is clearly. This isn't a we're not icing enough problem. You know, this isn't, hey man, we ain't getting enough stim. I doubt very seriously that there are less requirements to return from Tommy John in the Astros organization than there are in other organizations. Like, as if they're getting cleared. I think guys get cleared all pretty similarly. I think it's from the time they get cleared to the time that they put them back on that bump. Whatever's going on from a workout regimen at that point in time. I don't know if it's strength staff. I don't know if it's pitching coaches. I don't know what it is, but that has got to be
that overhaul. Has got They've to be got to overhaul. Look at that, right?
Yeah. No question. Absolutely no question. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous what's going on with the and the thing is, it's not just like minor league guys that got pushed up and maybe the workload increased or got pushed up for the first time.
This
and
is
now
years.
I mean, but these are established big league dudes that have been in the league for a year or more. That are going
free, but I mean, yes, just not this year, but it's years.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
They've had established big league guys for years that this is happening.
I mean, this has to be something in the workout regimen, the throwing routine, the trying to generate more spin on the baseball, whatever they do, which I know they're notorious for getting more out of guys when they get here and almost re-energizing careers kind of deal. Whatever they're doing there, that's got to be where it's at. Not with the training staff, but yeah. Either way it goes. To your point, I think your overall point is something. Head's got to roll,
yeah,
man. Somewhere.
They've got to change their outlook. Whatever it is they're doing, because this is insane. All right, Clint. Clint's got some. He's got some solutions to this offense. We've talked about the issues with the offense since the game on Sunday. We've got some solutions. We'll do that coming up next right here live on the drive.
All right, y'all. Academy Sports and Outdoors is wide open. If you've lived around these parks for any amount of time, you know all about Academy Sports and Outdoors, y'all. And football is back, which means it's tailgate season, which means you can't go in there half-stepping. Look at you. One-stop shop for all things tailgate. Grills for game day cooking. I don't care if it's burgers, brats, boudin, whatever you want, baby. Coolers to keep your drinks cold from kickoff to overtime. Outdoor lawn chairs and comfy for comfy sideline or stadium lounging. If you're going to go sit out there for several hours and watch that kiddo, watch that game, you got to have them lawn chairs. If you're going to tailgate, you got to have them lawn chairs too. Don't wear them feet. Don't have them feet swole up at kickoff now. Folding tables, tailgate games, must-have accessories, team gear and fan apparel to rep your squad. Easy, affordable, and ready for every game day, y'all. Who is that? Academy Sports and Outdoors. Prices that you'll love where tailgates come together.
The Texans' home opener is here. Can D'Amico's crew bounce back in a primetime showdown with the Bucs? Hear the matchup on Monday night with pregame coverage starting at 3. Kickoffs at 6 with Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware, and John Harris on the call. Then Texans' postgame gets going as soon as the clock hits zeros right here on your home for the Texans. Sports Radio 610.
from the attorney Steve Lee Traffic Center, 713-CALL-LEE. Your report is sponsored by Kirk Holmes. On the East Loop northbound at Turning Basin, it's a stall that has a right shoulder blocked. Kirk Holmes, Southern Living's 2024 Builder of the Year winner, is building dream homes from the Gulf Coast to the Hill Country. Discover why their superior building process and service is second to none. Visit them at kirkhomes.com. That's K-U-R-K, because at Kirk Holmes, it's all about you. I'm Laura Reynolds, Sports Radio 610.
You still got it, but your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, football fans, tune in this week to kick off with Boomer and Valenti, where the guys break down the biggest headlines and stories from across the NFL. Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti is brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
You worked hard for your 401k. But if you've left your job, your money might be sitting in the wrong hands. I'm Jeff Jr. with Trajan Wealth, and it's very possible that the 401k that you have had for years has hidden fees and limited investment choices. But if you're no longer with the company, that 401k may be at the mercy of your former employer. All of these things could be costing you thousands. Rolling over your 401k into an IRA can provide better investment options that align with your long-term goals. At Trajan Wealth, we're fiduciary advisors that are held to a higher standard with no hidden agenda and no hidden fees. Don't let your retirement dollars sit in an old plan, and don't roll it over to your new plan without consulting Trajan Wealth first. Call Trajan today at 346-371-3330. That's 346-371-3330.
Advisory services are offered through Trajan Wealth, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, it's Sean Pendergast for Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy app. I love playing Prize Picks because it's so easy to play. All you're doing is picking more or less on individual player stats. You put anywhere from 2 to 6 of those players in your lineup every day, and you watch the winnings roll in. It's that easy. I'm talking to you Texan fans out there. You know every game counts, so don't miss a moment of the action this season on Prize Picks. Make your picks on your favorite Houston stars and battle red all season long, just like I'm doing for week 1. I've got more than 2.5 receptions for Christian Kirk, and I've got more than 43.5 yards for Nick Chubb in my lineup already with Prize Picks. You can turn $10 into $20,000 on Prize Picks. That's right. You can win up to 2,000 times your money, and they got all the sports on there you could ever want. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code 610 to get $50 in lineups after you play just a $5 lineup. That's code 610 to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Hey, it's Sean Pendergast from a good friend, Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. If you're someone who suffers from sleep issues like I did 7 years ago, 8 years ago, that's when I first met him, you need to go see him today. Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring is the man when it comes to fixing sleep issues, sinus issues, snoring issues. I'm also talking to you folks out there, first responders, truck drivers who suffer from sleep issues, who are in highly important safety positions out there. Dr. Ben Salento is the man you need to go see. He works with dozens and dozens of folks in your vocation, in your job. Check him out today. They come from far and wide around the state of Texas to see Dr. Ben Salento, in no small part because he is the foremost authority on the Inspire Sleep Apnea implant treatment, which is a small implant that clears your airway at night. Ask him about it. It's tremendous. Make the appointment today. 346-413-9313. That's 346-413-9313, or online at drbensalento.com.
Clint Sterner and Ron Ugly at Buffalo Wild Wings in Willowbrook for Thirsty Thursdays. Join them September 11th from 2 to 6 p.m. for delicious wings, ice cold Bud Light, and sports talk you don't want to miss. Learn more at sportsradio610.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6812. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6812. That's 800-575-6812. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Get a free estimate from Generator Supercenter, the nation's number one Generac dealer. GeneratorSupercenter.com.
Talk saves lives. Join us here on Sports Radio 610 Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. for Odyssey's I'm Listening Special, a one-hour conversation featuring mental health professionals and some of the biggest names in sports, music, and news to promote mental health awareness across the nation. For more information, visit imlistening.org and tune in Sunday at 7 a.m. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as The Drive is back, and we will hear from Cecil Shorts III, former Texans wide receiver, coming up here in just a couple of minutes as we get his thoughts. I saw him tweeting, Clint, of hey, first time OC, a new system. It is going to take some time. I think he said somewhere mid season, if this thing starts to continue to look the way it is now, then I could see people, you know, really, really, really getting concerned. So it'll be interesting to see where Cecil's thoughts are now that he's had a couple of days to kind of see what's happened. So,
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I completely agree that boy, you get to mid-year and we see some of this. Boy, you ain't never lied. I mean, hell, at that point in time, we got to be talking about jobs.
Again?
So, yeah, that's there ain't no doubt about that. So, I'm anxious to. I love Cecil's insight just from that receiver position, you know, seeing the game through a different lens. And obviously, having played in multiple systems with multiple coaches and multiple quarterbacks, and so it's always good to get the insight, no question about it.
All right, well, let's go to our guy Cecil. Cecil Shorts III joins us, and we appreciate you jumping in with us. Clint, earlier in the week, and a lot of people shared it, Cecil said, I don't understand how Nico Collins isn't involved in the offense. There's no Joe Mixon. There's no Christian Kirk. Maybe that has something to do with it, Bert, but were you surprised of the level of his involvement in the game plan and in the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, if anybody needs to get 10 to 12, maybe even 15 targets, especially when Joe was out, it should have been Nico. And I don't care how you do it. It could be screens. It could be a go route. It could be whatever. Feed the boy the ball. He's supposed to be top five, top 10 in the league. Feed him the ball. He's a bona fide playmaker every single game, every single time, and he's healthy. So give him the ball. So that was a little bit confusing, especially with Christian Kirk being out. You got two rookies in there. It's just a younger group overall. I'm like, give that boy the ball. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me, not understanding why. But I did like what I saw from Nick Chubb, and I did think his touches were reasonable for the first time coming out, especially after injuries the last couple seasons. I don't think he's explosive anymore, but I do think he can get the job done until Joe comes back. And if Joe is the old Joe, him and Joe can – Nick and Joe can look good together. Then you got a running game to complement Nico and to complement the other receivers. But when you have what you have on Sunday, you got to feed Nico the ball. Like, I expect Nico to get 10 to 12 targets Monday night at the least. Like, he needs the ball in his hands. He is the proven playmaker and the best offensive playmaker you have right now in the squad. Give him the ball.
Cecil, I think one of the things that I can stay positive about, because I clearly am on a page of where I think there are like glaring concerns. It's 1 week, but it's glaring concerns of like, man, what are we in for here? But I do think as I look and more I watch the film, particularly on the offensive side of the football, the defense side of the football is fine. They're gonna give us a chance every week, regardless of what gets fixed on offense. But the offensive side of it is, man, I do think it's like coaching decisions, management decisions. Like, they're just a handful of decisions before the game's ever played, before the ball's ever kicked. They're a handful of decisions away from from being a better, I think a significantly better, but a better version of Houston Texans offense. And just that notion or that thought, I mean, are you in that category, or do you disagree?
No, I'm with you. To me, I'm on the patient side. I didn't understand not getting Nico the ball, but I'm still patient. I understand it's a new OC, it's a new system. Your number seven got a lot more responsibility at the line of scrimmage, which I think can be a really good thing for him and the offense. It's going to take a little bit of time, but at the same time, I understand, like, if you really want to be a contender, like you said, it's only a handful of things, decisions have to be made that you can really be a bona fide top-tier contender. You got to speed things up. Does that make sense? Like, I understand it's new and everything, but I'm not going to wait till week eight for you to get things right. That's going to be too long. Like, you got to figure things out as soon as possible. And the one of the decisions, I think, honestly, I think Ursary needs to play left tackle and left tackle alone. Like, let the young boy learn left tackle. If you drafted him in the second round and you think he can be that guy, Cam Robinson can play the other side. He's a veteran. When it's a rookie in that building and he has to learn all this stuff, make it simple for him. Make it easy for him. Don't make him switch from one side to another and then coming back to the other side. No, that's two totally different sides. You're doing two totally opposite things. So I would want him to be on the left side, stay on the left side, make the veteran Cam Robinson go to the opposite side or somebody else if he can't do it, right? But if Ursary is supposed to be that guy, let him learn left tackle. I understand the versatile part, right? But let him learn left tackle, get really good at it because he has some darn good potential. And let him just stay there and take his lumps and let's just grow from there. But continue to move him from side to side, I'm not a fan of. So I think that's one of the decisions that need to be made ASAP, in my opinion. But I'm with you. They're not far off. We got to be patient. It's just they got to make sure there's a sense of urgency on that side of the ball as well.
Well, Cecil, at least you're allowing Cam on the field. Clint's completely out. Clint's out.
Well,
Robinson even on the field.
Hear me out. I'm with you, Clint. Like, I'd rather have somebody else at that right at that other spot. Because he's proven time and time again that he's incapable of doing good consistently. So if you show, and that was before you even got here. So now that you're here, you saw week one, I'm the same way. I'm out. I just mentioned his name because that's what happened on Sunday.
Well, Cease, for me, it's, look, I don't know if he's injured and playing injured. I don't know if he was sick earlier in the week and didn't recover. I don't know if he's just not ramped up and ready because he missed so much training camp. I don't know if it's just, it seems to be like a lack of interest in really pushing through some things the way that they've been asking him to do. But either way it goes, I mean, whether it's the poor play or just the simple fact that, like, when I watch, like, I watch Jake Andrews' season, it is exactly what Cole Popovich and D'Amico Ryans have been preaching. You're getting it. Now, he's not the best center in the world, but he's out there flat out getting it. Lakin Tomlinson flat out getting it. I believe Titus Howard's doing the best he can at right guard. Ursary, I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to take some lumps. He's going to screw some things up, but he's out there giving it. The one guy to me that stuck out was Cam. And if that your $12 to $14 million man is going to do that, like, I think it just goes against everything they've been preaching. So I feel like that's got to be the change that's made this week.
Well, I tell you what, it was the reason they were shopping him around. Like, there was rumors that he was being shopped around after training. It was a reason for that. If they're serious about getting guys that are nasty in the trenches and that have this attitude and that going to go after it every single down like the other four are doing, like you mentioned, then they got to get rid of Cam. He doesn't fit the same system. Just watch the film. He doesn't fit the same thing that everybody else is doing. And to me, I just think that's what he's – I mean, he's later in the years. I get all that. He's making all this money. I get all that. But if he's not going to buy in, then he got to get out.
Cecil Shorts III joining us. And, Cecil, I gotta get your thoughts on this, being that you understand this as well as anybody, and especially now I got a quarterback and Clint with me, and you a receiver. What did you think about the passing game? Because you look at it, and you know Higgins leads the team in yards on two catches with 30 something yards. As we talked about it, you couldn't get the ball to Nico Collins. Just the passing game in general was not. You know, in sync didn't look good. I know Kirk wasn't there. The young receivers. What did you make of what you saw and how that can get better?
It's going to take a little bit of time. But I do expect for me, they need to take more shots down the field. You got to go more. You have to find ways to. I love the quick game. I love that part of it. I think they did decent in that part. I would even want to see it more of a moving quick game. So more slants, more outs, especially if you're condensed. They had tons of condensed formations. And when you go condensed, to me, and I'll let Clint speak on this, to me, I think some of the errors that that CJ had when it comes to protection or seeing the line of scrimmage or seeing the blitzes, when it's condensed and there's so many people inside, I feel like that's harder to figure out who's coming and who's not or where the pressure is coming from, right? But if you're going to do that, use that, because when you condense your splits, it automatically, the DB backs off. So that means you can have a running quick out route, 5 yard, 10 yard out, and then you can mix, you can match that with a 10 yard glance route or a 10 yard in. Like, there's things you can do I wish I would have saw more of. But I think that goes shots down the field. You got 2 6-4 guys on both sides. Like, take shots down the field. Open the thing up, especially with Nick Chubb looking decent. Now I'm Nick Chubb is not the old Nick Chubb. I think we all know that, right? But if he can have 13 carries for 60 yards, maybe he gives you a little bit more this week. Maybe it's 15 to 18 carries, around 70, 80 yards. You're building something in the running game from his standpoint, right? So now you can play action off of that. Now you can move the ball down the field on over routes and posts and different things like that. So I'm waiting to see the run game complement the pass game. So those are a few things I would say I would want to see more happen. It was like this upcoming Monday night. But I'm not extremely worried about it. I think it'll get better. But I did notice it wasn't up to par by none.
So what you're saying is we got about a three-quarter Chubb? Hey, if anybody knows about that, it's Cease. We got about 18 kids under five over there.
Hey, three quarters still get you off, baby. Still can work with you.
You ain't never lied. Hey, I get it in, baby.
Boy, y'all so damn nasty, man.
Hey, Cease, let's flip over to the positive part of this thing, man. The defense, man. That's the part to me that gives me so much hope and confidence and allows me to be somewhat patient. Is, man, you know, hell, you had the ball with a really good chance to win this game, given all the problems that we've discussed up to this point in this segment, because that defense is so legit. I mean, that has got to be a good feeling to know that you got that part of the game figured out so well on the defensive side.
They look really good. The big turnover at the end where the Rams could have punched it away or got some more points and kind of made it a two-score game. The fact that they were able to make a turnover and put the offense in position to do something, but holding them to 14 points, the way they go to the ball, the way this, I guess it's kind of cliche, but the way they're swarming to the ball, right? It's pretty cool to see. You're going to be in every single game because of the defense. Like, they're going to hold teams under a certain amount of points. They're going to get after the quarterback. I thought D'Amico kind of went uncharacteristically and put more pressure on Matthew than he did in previous years, right? A little more blitzing, a little more aggressive, which I like. Now, it did bite the Texans in the butt a little bit. And I think D'Amico talked about that in some pressers about because they were so aggressive, they got beat on some play action stuff, right? But that can be toned up, that can be fixed. It's just a more eye discipline, and they'll be fine. But when you have the pass rush, when you have the linebacker depth that they have, I don't think EJ Speed has talked about enough. I don't think Henry's talked about enough. You know about Aziz. I don't think Christian's talked about enough. Like, then you add the secondary, you got a special, special squad. Now, I do think you need to figure out if you want Petrie consistently on a really good receiver in the slot. I think you need to look at that and how you want to go about that if man coverage, right?
I don't think you need to look at it. I think you just need to stop it. I think that's what you.
Well, but it's not that simple though, right? Because Stingley inside, or if you bring Kamari inside, who are you going to put outside, right? So it just depends. It's personnel, how you going to make things work. But I don't think Petrie, or maybe it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but I don't think it's him either. But you got to figure that part out. But the rest of it, man, you got a special defense. And you will always be in the game. And honestly, the offense don't got to do too much. Don't turn the ball over. Score a few touchdowns, and you got a chance to win every single game.
Yeah, you do. All right, Cecil, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Hopefully we'll do it again this year.
Sounds good, man. Y'all take care.
All right, that's Cecil Shorts III, former Texan, and gave some good insight, especially from that receiver standpoint. The passing game, hopefully that picks up, and I'm with him. Down the field, because the Rams never feared that at all.
Look, I thought the point he made about just still being able to do work with three-quarter Chubb, I just think that needs to be put in a promo. Now, that's a great point. I think a lot of us men can relate.
coming up next.
Happened to the best of us.
Nick Caserio addresses one of the most difficult situations, and maybe why we should cut Nick Caley some slack here. We'll let you hear what that is as we continue rolling with a full. Well, no, let me not go there. We continue right here live on The Drive.